But again, some thoughts we can have today to take with us and make application to our lives. So I want to talk this morning about time. This is not a lesson of my own, but it's one I've adapted. I want to talk about time. You know, time's a funny thing. To some things seem like they take forever. Some things seem like they were a long, long time ago. Some things seem like they were yesterday. Today's April the 9th already. We're already 4 months into the year. For some, that may be a short time. For others, it's a long time. For me, it seemed like it's a very, very short time, but this far in the year already. It was a month ago, me and Jack were talking, that we were in Mexico. And it seemed like yesterday. So in that way, it was a short time ago. Think about COVID. COVID was over 3 years ago. I think it was in March of 2020. We used to meet outside in our cars over 3 years ago. For some, again, it may seem like a long time ago. For 15 months after COVID started, if I remember right, we didn't have any Sunday morning classes. 15 months. A year and 3 months. Who remembers these? Was it a long time ago or a short time ago to you that we used those? Still have them back. I'm reading a poem here, or the author's unknown. It says, soon in your hand will be placed a priceless gift. Look at it closely. There's no price marker stamped on it. It cannot be weighed because no scale can balance its value. A king's ransom in comparison is nothing. Yet it's given to beggar and prince alike. The giver asks only that it be used wisely and well. This jewel, which is rare and unique, is not displayed in any shop window. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be sold. No other treasure holds the possibilities this gift offers. None can surpass its golden splendor. Of all gifts, this is one of the most precious. It's been offered many times before. Today, from the depths of a limitless love, it will be given again. It will be left to you to find the golden thread running through it. Only with great care will the jewel retain its luster. Carelessness, ingratitude, and selfishness will tarnish the brilliance, break the unspoiled thread, mar the perfection. Guard it closely, lest through weak fingers it slip from the hand. Look often at its faultless beauty. Accept it as it is, offered from the heart of the giver, and consider it as the most treasured of possessions. For all gifts, it is by far the greatest, and it's the gift of time. And the giver is God Almighty. Time is that period, ultimately, between creation and the second coming of Christ. That's time. More practically to us, it's that period between when you were born and when you died. And there's some remarkable things about time. We're going to talk about a few of those. The first remarkable thing about time is its value. Benjamin Franklin said, time is the most valuable thing in this world. The value of something is determined by supply and demand, as we know from business. Time is always in short supply, and it's always in great demand. We always wish we had more time. Everything requires time. Every activity that we do takes place in time, and time is used up during that. Most people, again, take for granted this unique, irreplaceable, and necessary resource we all have. Nothing else distinguishes Christians from ordinary people as much as the use of our time. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. In chapter 90. Begin at verse 10. Told here, the days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We can see that things haven't changed a great deal since the hundreds of years before this was written before Christ's time, as far as our lifespan goes. Still 70 to 80 years, some more. But it's about the same time. As one considers his short lifespan here on earth, his greatest question must be, how can I apply my heart to wisdom? In other words, what's my purpose? What's my goal while I have time to do those things? What can I accomplish with my time? And that's its value. Number two, time is remarkable because it's not replaceable. Once it's gone, it's gone. There's no way to retrieve even 1 second of our life once it passes. This is true of other things, or not true of other things. One can lose your character, but that character can still be rebuilt. Time can't be gotten back. One can lose his health, but we can still recover from that. Friends can be lost, but we can be restored to our friends. We can see love die, but that can be revived again. Money can be lost, but that can be regained. But again, time, once it's passed, it's gone forever. It's one thing you can't get back. We talk about finding time. We talk about making time. We talk about saving time. We use those common figures of speech, but in reality, none of this can be done. Finding time, we say. Well, there's no time to be found because none has been lost. Making time, we all said, I'll make time for this. But no scientist or engineer has ever made even a minute. We can't add a single second to our day. How about saving time? We cannot deposit time in a saving vault and draw from it later. Can't save time. The Bible teaches us regarding the preciousness of time and the responsibility of using it wisely. Death soon overtakes us. Again, turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 9 and verse 10. We're told here and taught here, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. In other words, if you don't do it now, you can't do it when you're dead. Turn over to the book of John. Chapter 9. Told here, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. In other words, you do things while you're living. You can't do them when you're dead. We should take advantage of the opportunity we now have. Turn to Ephesians. Chapter 5. Begin verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So again, take opportunity of the time we have while we have it. Someone wrote, just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me. Can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. And I must suffer if I lose it and give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Use our time wisely. The third thing about time is remarkable is because it's elusive. We've often made these statements. Well, where did the time go? Time has gone by. Where's the time gone to? We often say, I wish I had more time. Or we say, time has really flown by, especially as we get older. It's odd because, again, our generation has more time-saving devices than any other, but we still have less time, it seems like. Again, when this lesson was written, it said 100 years ago, a man would plow all day long with his team and he would turn over only about 2 acres. The woman often milked cows by hand. And she made nearly all of her clothing by hand. She washed clothes on a washboard, hung them out on a clothesline to dry. But today, the man with his tractor can plow 50 acres a day. The wife doesn't milk the cows anymore. She buys her milk and butter at a nearby grocery store. In most cases, she has a washing machine to wash the clothes and a dryer that dries it. And what's sad is that we claim we don't have time when we have all kinds of time-saving devices that they didn't used to have. Again, we have more leisure time today than any other time in the history of man. Without a doubt, and again, when this lesson was written, the example was that the greatest robber of time in our generation is television. Now, today, it's play this right here. Either way, when it was written, it said the average family watches about 6.5 hours of television per day. 6.5 hours of television per day. They see on average 175 commercials each day. The only things Americans do more than watch TV are work and sleep. Of course, nowadays it's this. It's difficult to comprehend the waste from watching television or being on our phones. By the age of 20, it's said that the average American will have been exposed to at least 20,000 hours of television. By the age of 20, 20,000 hours of television. Calculation that for a moment, what could be done with even part of those hours. It's said that in 5,000 hours, not 20,000, but 5,000 hours, or what a typical college undergraduate spends working on a bachelor's degree over the course of the 3 to 4 years. We're told that in about 10,000 hours, you can have learned enough to become a lawyer or a doctor or even an engineer. In that time, you could have learned to speak multiple languages. You could have learned to read the Bible both in the original Greek and the Hebrew. You'd have enough time to walk completely around the world and also write a book about it. And we spend time on our TVs and our phones. And I'm guilty of that too. We list three basic avenues in which we should use our time wisely as we go into this lesson. First, we should learn what true discipleship is. I'm told a disciple is simply a student, a follower of another. In our case, a follower, a student of Christ. A true disciple will learn what it takes to become a Christian and will learn how to worship in spirit and truth. Turn to John chapter 8. We'll begin at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We claim to be disciples or followers of Christ, so we need to take the time to obtain an adequate knowledge of Christ, of what he taught and how he lived, if we're going to be a disciple. He was once said, if I had met him walking by the blue Galilee, would he have stopped and said, "Follow me"? And if he had said that, I wonder, when I think it through, how could I follow him with so many things to do? Do you have time for Christ? Number two, we need to take time to lead someone to Christ. Turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. And verse 2. We're taught here, "In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Pass on what you know. Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 30. We're taught here, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." He who wins souls is wise. So we need to keep in our minds the absolute importance of leading someone to Christ. Very important. And all the good that can be done on this earth, nothing compares to converting a soul to Christ. The most important thing that we can do. Material aid has its worth. However, this saying is true to life. Nowadays, if you help someone in need, that person is sure to remember you the next time he's in need. It's important. You do something for someone, they're going to remember you. As we said, there's no greater work than saving a soul. And so don't let those golden opportunities of saving a soul, again, which is the greatest endeavor this side of eternity, pass us by. Take advantage of them. Look, seek them out. Maybe it's a person in our own family. We need to take time again to lead and guide a soul to God. Maybe it's the people we work with, our friends. Number three, we need to take time for the basics of godly living, the things we do in life. We need to take time to show kindness to someone. Matthew chapter 25. Again, we're taking time for godly living. The first one is take time to show kindness to someone. Matthew 25, begin at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. We need to take time for personal prayer, for devotion, and for worship. Turn to Psalms chapter 104. And verse 34. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalms 119. In verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Psalms 145. Verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. We must take time to offer the apology that saves the friendship we have. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23 beginning. We're told here, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and give your gift and offer your gift. You must take time to show family members consideration. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You must take time also to speak words of encouragement and cheerfulness. Edification. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may be impart grace to the hearers. John chapter 16. Verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Proverbs chapter 25. We'll begin at verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Fourth thing, let us use our time wisely. And again, I didn't write this part here. It says, when I was a child, I slept and wept, but time crept. When I was a youth, I laughed and talked. Time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still, I daily grew, time flew. And soon I shall be traveling on, and time will be gone. So in conclusion of this lesson, and the lesson of the years, again, one more poem written by someone else. It says, I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground, the fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we had lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown, with thorns and nettles everywhere, and the seeds and neglect had sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go. when minding the things here on earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, O Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for Thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I cannot recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make Him Lord of all. That's our lesson for today. I hope that someone may have patience to consider time, the time we have here on earth, because we don't know how many hours, days we have, and use them wisely. Given any needs, need to obey the gospel or to repent of sins, you have time as we stand and sing.